Welcome, viewers and listeners, to Breaking Bread, a podcast where we sit and discuss topics surrounding the Christian walk. I'm your host, Ishmael Claudio. With me is my co-host, Nick Vasquez.
What's up? What's up?
You sleeping? that's great.
So, what up?
We're back at it again, talking about the topic of a man as priest of his home. And this is coming from the book that Samuel E. Wardron did. And it's a great book. We're still talking about the topic as we did.
Get the book.
We're talking about the topic as we did in episode one, as just we made a basics or as a, what do you call that? A foundation of what a priest of the home is.
Introduction.
Introduction. Now we're just going to go into certain roles of being a priest of the home. Samuel Wardron lists five roles a priest did have in the Old Testament times. And the five roles which he does list are as follows. One, intercessory in prayer. Two, director in worship. Three, mediators of divine blessings. Four, instructors of sacred scripture. And five, judges in holy things. So today we're going to talk about the first topic, which is a man as intercessor in prayer. Nick, you ready for this?
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it. He defines intercession as petitioning God on behalf of the needs of others. Do you agree with this definition? You want to add to
basically,
it?
That's basically what it is. I can't add to what Wardron does. That's Wardron.
I'm just saying if you want, but...
My favorite theologian. Check him out.
The priest was established for the needs of man.
Well, the priests represent man to God.
The perfect thing I could read is chapter 5, verse 1. It says, for every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God.
Right. They taught worship. They taught how they were supposed to worship God. They taught the law and they interceded, right? They acted as a mediator between God and men. But we know that right now they are no longer... there are no longer any mediators except for Christ, right? Christ is the mediator between God and man, the only mediator. So we have to, you know, put that in there because we don't want people to think that we're trying to be a mediator redemptively.
I can't.
But as a priestly work.
I can't.
Even but if as I a try priestly to. Work, you know, we act as mediators. And part of that mediatory work is being an intercessor in prayer.
So what we're going to do right now, really, I guess the best thing to do is, one, we're going to dive into scripture because we know that scripture is infallible. Look at some examples and based off these examples, just say, okay, how does this apply to today as being priest of the home? Some examples of a man as intercessor in prayer. I know he's one of your favorite because you're always talking about it with me, is Job.
I'm always talking about it.
Even when the cameras are not rolling and everything is off, and we were just having a conversation, brings up Job religiously. This man loves Job and Psalm 110.
Psalm 110. Check out my 110 sermons on Psalm 110.
Oh man!
Yeah. So if you see Job 42:8. God says, now therefore, take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up a burnt offering for themselves, and my servant Job will pray for you. So we see here that offerings are accompanied by prayer. You offer up the sacrifice, but you don't just, you know, offer up the sacrifice and walk away. There's prayer that's involved. And even when Job was offering up sacrifices for his children, saying, perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. So even there, I think that was kind of a summary of his prayer per se.
To talk about the definition, which Sam Waldron says is petitioning God on the needs of others. We're in Job chapter 42, verses 7 and 10. There, it establishes, especially in verse 7, before he even reads verse 8, verse 7 says that my wrath is kindled against you. This is the Lord speaking to Eliphaz, one of Job's friends. There was the wrath of God was kindled against them or his friends because of the way they spoke. There was a need for forgiveness. And Job, acting as priest, even as Nick said, even before the Levitical law was even put in place, he needed to act as priest of the home. So they needed to offer up sacrifice and a prayer needed to be put. because Job was there now being an intercessor for his friends.
And even in the Levitical priesthood, where you see Ezra chapter 6, verse 10, that they may offer acceptable sacrifice to the God of heaven and pray for the life of the king and his sons. So here we see that you needed to offer up sacrifices to kind of have God's ear turned to you. You can't just walk up with nothing and say, God, I need you to do this for me. Also, incense offerings were commanded by God at the entrance to the Holy of Holies. That was symbolic of prayers. So we see how they're together. Offering and prayer, they go hand in hand, if you will. The biggest thing to consider is that our great high priest and Lord, Jesus Christ, is our intercessor, right? So Romans 8:34 says, who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. So the Christian can't be condemned. Why? Because our Lord intercedes for us. He's applying his work to us constantly. Christ is praying for us.
Just to point out what you're saying, how there's an offering and then there's a prayer. There's an offer and then there's intercession.
And he Christ, offered up himself.
He offered up himself. Now he intercedes.
Amen.
He did those two things. And
think about how Christ is praying for us and, you know, his prayers will be answered. How comforting is that to the Christian? You know, even when we feel like we're falling short of being a priest in the home, you know, who better to come to than to Christ?
And like you just hit it, the nail on the head, really, is like, if we are supposed to imitate Christ, he intercedes for others. How much more, like you said, we need to intercede for our families.
Exactly. Christ gives us a glimpse of his intercession when he's on earth, right? In Luke 22, 31 to 32. He says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. In Luke 23, 34, but Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. In John 17, 9 to 10, I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. So it's like you said, right? If we're to be like Christ, and his work was that of a high priest, and we're a royal priesthood, and he interceded on our behalf, and on behalf of others, we have to conclude that intercession should be a part of our priesthood, and even more particularly, our priesthood in our homes as husbands and wives.
Amen.
So you said it right there, right?
You said it. I didn't say it. You said it.
That's our biblical proof for intercession as part of our priesthood in the home.
So then, with that said, it's like, I guess the question that everyone should be asking us, viewers and listeners, even you and me personally, do we intercede?
More to what we're speaking to, do we intercede for our wives? Do we intercede for our children? But, you know, what kind of heart we should have when we pray, coming into that prayer? Because, you know, honestly, we could come with the wrong type of attitude.
That's true.
And
remember, like we're always saying, like the priest is for the needs of others. Like applying it to what we're saying is, before you go into intercession or before you come into prayer before God, you have to realize, like, what is the need for your family? What's the need for your wife? What is the need for your children? And in doing so, do you come before Christ interceding for those needs?
We kind of have to remember, you know, taking the initiative, not seeking to take the back burner, you know, so in ducking our duties as a priest in the home. You know, let's just be honest. Sometimes we don't feel like praying. But you know what? A duty is a duty, you know? We're still going to get up and go to work, right? Because why? Because we have to, because we need to make a living, right? Well, how come praying for our families is not just as important or even more so? You know, so one of the things that, you know, that Sam Waldron touches on in terms of application is that we should intercede sacrificially. And he reminds us that, like we spoke about earlier, that the sacrifice, the prayers are accompanied with sacrifices, with offerings. And, it's just kind of a reminder to us and our hearts that, you know, we are able to come boldly before the throne of his grace because of Christ.
We have to remember that it was Christ's sacrifice. No matter what, we have to come before. Like, even the times where you might feel discouraged, like, oh, I don't want to come. That's the time when you do need to come to him. Mm-hmm. Even when the times you feel like you're the best, you still need to come to him. Like, always come, make that time for intercession. Like, make that time for prayer. Establish it now. Even if this is a call, if you're listening to this, if you're hearing this, if you're watching this, and you're like, okay, I don't pray as much, or not even as much, as like, I really don't have that prayer time. Establish that prayer time. That's very important. Literally establish it. Make the sacrifice.
And this is like the next point of application too, is, you know, specifically, you know, I always try to tell like my family, like my wife and my kids, you know, why do we fail to pray for specific things? Why do we have to be so general sometimes? You know, there's different there's specific things that we should pray for pointedly, you know. And sometimes I think in the back of our minds, we feel like, well, maybe God can't do that. It's as if we limit God's power in our head, in our hearts, you know. So even that, just to point out the second application that Waldron talks about, is that we should intercede specifically. You know, we should remember that these offerings were for specific people. Right? Job's offerings were for specific people. The priests offered up sacrifices for specific people. Christ died for his people, you know? And we in like manner should intercede specifically for our families, for our wives, for our kids, and for the needs of the home. So how impressed must our names have been upon the heart of Christ? We were chosen in eternity by the Father, and he became our surety in essence, agreed to pay for our sins, and came to this earth, walked among us, where he was hated and rejected, beaten and mocked, and ultimately crucified. Christ is the epitome of the Father's love for us, and he remains steadfast on a mission with the saints always on his mind. He had to complete that mission. It had to be finished. Are your wife and kids on your mind in the same way? Wow. Because that's how ingrained in our hearts they should be. We can't depend on someone else to pray for our wives, right? Nobody's going to know them the way you know them.
So why not pray for them?
So let's pray for them specifically, right? You know, nobody knows your wife's aches and pains the way you do, right? Nobody knows your kids' hang-ups the way you do. So pray for them by their name, right?
Wow. Conviction. Ouch. Ouch. No, but it's true.
The next point of application is to intercede consistently. And you were sharing this with me earlier, right?
I don't know, was that?
Yeah, you was. You were talking about Samuel. When Samuel told the children of Israel, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. You know, I mean, we should pray always, right? The Bible says to pray without ceasing. But it's so important that we pray consistently for our family.
Pray.
Right? And not only consistently, but we have to persevere. Mm-hmm. And Waldron talks about that in the book, because in all honesty, it's like with me, right? If I'm down in the dumps, the first thing that's going to take a hit is my prayer life. You know, yeah. The first thing I'm going to do is run from God, and the first door is prayer. You know what I mean? And I don't know. That's just the way, you know, that's the struggle that I get, you know. But at the end of the day, I'm being selfish, because now I'm not doing my duty as a priest in the home to pray specifically and consistently, you know, for my wife and my kids. Right, you should feel bad if you don't. In all honesty, you should feel bad if you don't. It should feel like a sin to you if you don't pray for them. That's how important it is.
One thing for sure, two things for certain. You're never going to regret praying.
That
never happened.
True story.
You're never going to regret praying.
You're not going to walk away saying, man, I should have did that. I just wasted my time. So the next point of application that Waldron talks about is that we should intercede with sensitivity, right? A priest deals gently with his people. He knows them. He even feels them. He knows how their struggles are. He knows what their struggles are. Learn your wife. Learn your kids. Study them well, right? And through much intercession, seek to meet their needs. The last point of application from the book is that we should intercede earnestly. So how seriously do you take up this priestly duty of intercession, right? Do you just throw up your ritual prayer for them and then you just go and check the box off, right? Have you considered your wife and children are a gift from God, a task with a responsibility to them on your end? Are you broke and got nothing nice to buy your wife? Then offer up prayers on her behalf to God. Those are priceless gifts that cost us nothing. Do you fast and pray for the salvation of your kids? Do you pray, oh Lord, by the way, save my kids? Or do you crawl into the throne room of God pleading for the souls of your kids that the world would not steal them away, but that they would be among the elect? Now, we could be knuckleheads, and that's our problem as men, but our responsibility as priests in the home calls us to so much more. So we have a duty to glorify God in this way. So whenever you feel inadequate, you know, think about our great high priest who's praying for you at the right hand of the Father and draw from that.
Amen. Well said. Well said. I wish I could have brought more. I said more. No, it's all good.
You told me to finish.
So like Nick said, and like Samuel E. Waldron said, and how Nick reminded us, literally, just pray. Pray sacrificially. Pray specifically. Pray consistently. Pray
earnestly.
Pray with sensitivity. There you go. But with that said, we want to just say thank you, all viewers and listeners, for coming in and spending some time with us, breaking bread with Nick and I. We just pray that this was actually edifying, that you were encouraged like I was encouraged, as Nick was encouraged, because we're not perfect. Like we always say all the time, we're not perfect. I struggle with this too. I'm going through it. I'm walking this walk with you guys too. I'm not different from you. Believe me, I'm there in the trenches, as they say, with you guys. But with that said, we just want to pray out. We come before you right now, Lord. We say thank you for this time that you've given Nick and I, and also the viewers and listeners that came in and to discuss this topic as a man, as intercessor in prayer. We just pray right now, Lord, that this would not fall on deaf ears, but we will put into practice what was taught today, Lord, and that it may edify, encourage us, and we may continue walking this walk with you, Lord, and not forgetting your sacrifice, not forgetting what you have done, Father God, and always clinging to that cross and clinging to what you have done. And we pray this all in your name. Amen.